State of the Packers 2026 continues live from Summerfest. He is the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde, who you hear on Wilde and Tausch each and every weekday from 9 until noon on ESPN Wisconsin. He is Mr. Worldwide, Gabe Neitzel. You hear him on ESPN Radio literally all the time, it seems, but also Jen, Gabe, and Chewy weekday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN Milwaukee. All right, buckle up. Here we go. Let's talk about this offensive line. I don't even know where to begin. Last year's experiment didn't work. Elgton Jenkins, the center, didn't work. Aaron Banks was underwhelming despite making a lot of money in free agency last offseason.
And then making some more guaranteed money this offseason.
So from left to right, what we expect is the following. Jordan Morgan finally going to crack the starting lineup at the position he wants to at left tackle. Aaron Banks at left guard. Sean Ryan, who's back, re-signed this offseason at center. Right guard, we assume, will be the second-year guy, Anthony Belton, who filled in that role once Ryan moved over to center. And then, okay, we get a head nod. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
We're rotating
then,
right guards again, baby!
Yeah, our favorite. Talk about bread and butter. And then right tackle, Zach Tom, who everybody feels good about him, but he's coming off of a surgery this offseason. So many question marks around across the board at offensive line. Jason, I just want to say that and give you the ball because you can go any direction you want. I think this is going to be the conversation that
can takes I hand
the
it right off the gate.
Yeah, no, you got to make your own hole because I don't know if the offensive line is going to make a hole for you.
Hey-o!
I'm telling you, this has been the best show you've had. I mean, again,
might have to
Mr.
leave soon.
Worldwide.
Leave on a high note.
Yeah,
because stands of this thing.
So, first of all, I know Gabe will handle the discussion of the wildly popular rotating players because based on what we not only saw but more importantly heard from Matt LaFleur, the Jagger bomb, Jagger Burton, is thrust himself into the mix in some form or fashion. Now, will they rotate him with Anthony Belton? Will he somehow beat out Anthony Belton and Anthony Belton becomes your swing tackle? I don't know. But there's just... You started in a place that I think is where we all have to start on this conversation, which is last year failed. And you made wholesale changes. You paid a guard where you were bidding against yourself way more than I think anybody else was willing to pay Aaron Banks. You moved a multi-time Pro Bowl guard to center who, by his own admission, I can't use the S word that he used to describe his own performance to me when I talked to him early in the season, but it was. And he's going to go to Cleveland, and he's going to play guard, and he's going to make a Pro Bowl. He's going to be fine. And you don't get better by not having good players on your team. It also created all kinds of angst, and he was unhappy with his existing contract. All he wanted was guaranteed money that was already in his contract to be guaranteed that wasn't at the time. They obviously had plans on getting rid of him all along. So now, Jordan Morgan, your wish is my command. You are the left tackle. And Joe Thomas thought very highly of what he saw from him, but I think he's got a lot to prove. And I think Jordan knows that. Zach Tom is still not participating in anything and isn't sure. And he's a guy who's from the same cloth as Tausch and Bulaga, that I don't want to just show up on Sundays and play. I don't feel like I can play effectively like that. Chad Clifton could do it. He doesn't think he can. And so he wants to even play in a preseason game potentially so he can get that work. If you're asking to play in a preseason game, I don't feel real good about where you're at in your recovery. And he doesn't know when. He wants to be right for the first day of camp. He's probably not going to be. So it is a jumble. For knowing the starting five, it is still somehow a jumble.
Well, maybe starting six, Gabe. Go ahead.
Who do you feel the best about?
Zach Tom coming off of a torn patellar tendon.
Okay.
Partially torn. He made sure I understood that.
All right, let's do a 1-5 on the starters. So you feel best about Zach Tom. Who do you feel second best about?
I'm pausing for dramatic effect,
yeah.
But also because I'm not, that's a tough call for me.
Okay.
Right? I think it's Aaron Banks.
I think so too.
Oh, really?
That's where I was going to go.
But again,
Jordan Morgan's my number two. I really think that he is going to be. He held up at right tackle, and then Unfortunately, the one play he didn't, he got Malik Willis hurt in the Bears during the regular season.
So you believe the conversation around Jordan Morgan, while you should be suspicious because we haven't seen him play it outside of that Minnesota game in a regular season game, and he wasn't particularly great, but also he was around a bunch of second linemen. But, I mean, he hasn't proven anything.
I think, as a
first round pick,
if it was truly a competition and they didn't have injuries and they're shuffling around the offensive line, and if he went head to head during camp last year, I think he beats out Sheed. I really do. But that's not the way it was, and they're rotating around. He's
probably
trying to all these different positions. Yeah. So I think him at left tackle, I feel pretty good about him, especially the way.
But again, you don't have evidence.
No, I don't. I don't. And you don't have an evidence. I mean, I don't have. You have evidence to feel good about Aaron Banks?
I don't.
Yeah, that's the problem, right?
Right. We have evidence that Zach Tom, when healthy, is really good. Now, Zach Tom also, 2 years ago, tore his pec and never regained the strength. So he was playing literally with one arm tied behind his back for much of that season. He still played well.
Well, didn't he? And he finished, what, third in voting at right tackle?
Right. So, again,
so if there was third team all NFL, right, third team all pro, he would have been that.
If you said to me, is Jordan Morgan more likely to be a stud or a dud at left tackle?
Yeah.
I would say more likely stud.
Yes.
I do believe that that's the case. I just can't prove it.
Yeah.
So it's a question mark of a ceiling and a medium floor for Jordan Morgan at left tackle?
Sure. Again, there's just no. Like, unless I go back to his, and I'm, you know, that's Bulaga's department. I'm not going back and watching film of Jordan Morgan at Arizona.
You've got corners covered.
I do, especially when they're only here for a year and play in like 12 games. And prevent me from talking to Keyshawn Nixon after a game, which I really like.
It's a Nate Hobbs joke for those of you at home.
Yes,
yeah.
If you know, you know.
We're going to have some deep cuts over the 3 hours here, Strophy.
That's true. But I just think that's the challenge, is just not knowing for certain what Jordan. We all believe he's going. Just like we all think that Matthew Golden's going to be good.
Yeah.
Right? He's a first round pick.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You don't pick a guy in the first round, he's not going to do anything this year. Like, yeah, first year, okay. Same with Jordan Morgan. Had the shoulder injury, missed a lot of time. But again, he's going into. I mean, Jordan Morgan is going into year three. It is time for him. He's getting the opportunity, and it's time for him to play. Like a first-round left tackle.
Sean Ryan, real quick, Gabe, because this was something you put me onto the idea of last season during Green Bay game day. It was about midway through the season. You were like, his contract's up. If the price is right, I'd be open to bringing him back at center. It's ultimately what they do. Do you have confidence in him at center? A question for both of you.
I feel like he is going to continue to grow into that role. I think he stepped in when, again, he wasn't necessarily expected to play in that role, and I thought he did well. And because there's so much other instability, I think the price ended up being higher than I thought it would be. Mm. But I also think that's because his agent and Sean Ryan probably knew they had the Packers of, all right.
Over a barrel.
You don't bring me back to play center. Who are you putting in there? And the Packers didn't have a good answer, so they had to pay Sean Ryan. Now, that doesn't mean I think he's going to be back. I think he's going to continue to grow in that role. I think he's going to be a pleasant surprise by the end of the season, but much like everybody else on this offensive line who isn't named Zach Tom, there's not a lot of evidence
Correct.
To go on to actually make you feel good about where they're at.
He's going to be solid.
Okay, I'll take solid.
And that's not what Mike Flanagan was. That's not what Scott Wells was. That's not what Corey Linsley was. But
is Corey Linsley the last time they were more than solid at
yep.
center?
Mm-hmm. And I think they were more solid than Josh Myers probably got credit for.
Tend to agree.
He wasn't great by any means. But, like, by the way, he signed for
Another
pennies
contract.
On the dollar.
Wasn't it a one-year deal for $2 million?
Right. And
is
then
that
they,
all it was?
But now they paid him.
They paid him. They gave. He got another contract.
I mean, it's the Jets.
Right.
That's the.
I don't know how much we trust their talent evaluation, but fair enough. They might win four games this year. Good for them.
But that's somebody. When you're dealing with all this instability and injuries, Josh Myers was somebody who always played.
Yeah.
Correct.
And yep. having that stability was important when he was here.
So what's with the apprehension at right guard? I said Anthony Belton. You grimaced. You shook your head and said it might be a rotation. Is that
that's
where
not
we
our
think,
idea.
That's where we think Jager
blame us.
Yeah.
No, Gabe loves it.
What are you talking about?
Gabe's the biggest advocate.
Do not put me in that bucket. Yeah,
Gabe is the biggest advocate for rotating right guards.
For the dumbest idea in NFL history.
So that's going to be the Jagger bomb with Anthony Bellton?
As I have said many times, Matt LaFleur easily could have said, yeah, hey, we really like what we've seen from Jagger so far. You know, he's really been impressive. We're excited to have him get pads on and see what he does in training camp. That is not what he said. He said he is going to be in the mix for playing time.
Which makes me excited for it's so conflicting because I'm excited for Jagger. That's awesome that you hit maybe on a pick.
On another mid-round.
Yeah. Have to wait and see once you get into pads because when you're kind of going through and just helmets and shorts,
right?
It's
and
different.
It should make you feel good that he was so excited that he couldn't help but say something
correct
useful.
And that does make me excited, especially because the offensive line. We haven't even gotten to who's behind those starting five in case there's an injury.
That'll be
who's
a short
coming
segment
in?
Darian Kennard. That's the end of the segment.
Yeah. So having that depth makes me excited, but it doesn't make me excited the way Matt LaFleur said it. He's in the mix for playing time because in a copycat league where guys are stealing plays, ideas, all over the place, how come nobody else in the NFL has decided it's a good idea to rotate offensive linemen in and out while healthy? Not, where you have an injury, you got to put a new guy in. No, rotating guys.
Play with a club cast, so we have to take them out every couple of series.
Can I ask you a dumb question? I am a firm believer there's such thing as dumb questions. You guys have worked with me long enough to know I ask a lot of them.
Yeah.
Do they just want competition in camp, even if it's not real? Like, I think back to last year, Rashid Walker and Jordan Morgan, we brought up, but maybe it would have been more real had Rashid Walker been healthy, but he ultimately won the job, even though Jordan Morgan played it all 4 or 5 weeks of training camp in the preseason. Do they just want to force some competition? Because when you look across the Packers roster, there's really not any competition in terms of starting roles.
No, it's the NFL. If you have a good team, you know who your players are throughout the offseason. It's the crappy teams that have competition in training camp. Maybe there's one position.
There's some general competition for back-end roster spots, but
not for starters. No. Not if
so you do not believe it's a
no.
He's earned it.
And I, in the conversations that I had with people not named Jagger, what they really like about him is he's really smart. Like, and I think they feel like he's picked things up really quickly. That they, unlike many rookies, I mean, Elgton Jenkins was like this too as a rookie, but he was a second round pick.
Yep.
You expect second round, like Josh Myers, you expect them to play right away. Fifth round pick. He has definitely outkicked their expectation coverage.
Is this the position, girl, that gives you the most nerves, Gabe Neitzel?
Yes.
I agree.
It does.
I agree.
We spend a lot of time, and we're going to spend time in the second half of the show, talking about who else is going to pass rush with Micah Parsons out, who's going to play cornerback with all those. But this offensive line, as we saw in the second half of that Bears game, you're not giving up 25 points if your offensive line blocks a little bit and you're able to pick up a couple more first downs outside of the drive that you had that ended in the Matthew Golden touchdown.
Yeah.
If you're able to block just a little bit better, they have enough weapons where you're going to be able to do damage and you're not going to blow that lead. But if this offensive line ends up looking like what they did in the second half, it's going to be asking a lot of your defense, especially if Mike is going to miss as much as his brother Terrence is saying.
Jason, I want you to say what you just whispered one final time.
Yeah, he's having such a good show. I mean, he's unbelievably good. In fact, I'm going to go see Baby D. I might not even come back for the next segment.
Just let Gabe go?
I might skip a segment.
Well, speaking of Micah Parsons, speaking of the defensive line, that is where we will turn our attention to
Micah
coming
Parsons
next.
Micah Parsons doesn't play the defensive line.
Yeah, not anymore.
He's an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
We're a 3-4 now,
we're
kid.
We're a 3-4 now. We will talk.
So Jason, when you play a 3-4.
Please explain this to me, Matt.
We're going to flip the page to the defense. New coordinator in town. Some new guys that will probably play some meaningful snaps in town. Pew, pew, pew. We talk defense coming up next. It's State of the Packers, ESPN Wisconsin, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. More running music for Jason Wilde. It's State of the Packers 2026 live from the Griffin Law Offices Sports Zone at Summerfest, a beautiful Saturday afternoon here on the Lakeshore. He is Jason Wilde.
Because when I think of Jason Wilde, I think of running.
Yeah,
That's what I think of. Yeah, definitely.
You have enough running shoes.
I need to be thinking about GLP-1s. That's what I need to be thinking about.
That might be a conversation for another day. Gabe Neitzel's here.
Talk to Chewy. Text. I mean, now that you have his number, text Chewy.
I still am nervous every time I text that group that I'm sending it some random guy.
Well, now I've missed something. What happened? You don't have Mark Chewy's
number? I had like an old number. Like, obviously, I covered Chewy as a player.
Yep.
And so I had a number for him that I had always thought was his. And then once I put it in a group text, the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, wildly popular show,
yeah,
with Jen, Gabe, Chewy, and Josh. And they're like, what's this other number? Because it wasn't Chewy.
Did this person respond?
No.
No.
I mean, because nobody does that, right? Like, once upon a time you would respond and say, hey, you got the wrong number. But now everyone expects someone to be looking to get your sensitive information, so you just delete it and move on, right? Other than you, apparently.
No, I like messing with people that try to get my sensitive information.
So, Jason, ever since that has happened.
Your fortune has gone to Zimbabwe.
Yeah, that's right.
So, despite us sharing with Jason the correct number for Mark
multiple times,
Jason still gets a little gun-shy anytime he has to text the show. I don't think he's texted Chewy directly. He's just a little nervous.
Let's go to the defense. First-year coordinator Jonathan Gannon, who allegedly doesn't have a scheme but technically does run a 3-4 base. Let's start with the interior defensive line because that's interesting aside from the edge rushers. You bring in Javon Hargrave, a veteran. Shout out to Brian Gutekunst for bringing in somebody over the age of 30.
33.
Chris McClellan is a draft pick out of Missouri. He's a defensive tackle. And obviously you have some other guys left over, right? Devontae Wyatt's back. On that fifth-year option.
Carl Brooks
is still there.
Should we be looking out for a Devontae Wyatt extension as well, or are they just going to let him play out the fifth-year option?
I would think they would let him play out some of the fifth-year option. I mean, there's another guy that, if we're being completely fair and forthcoming and honest, has been injured each of the last two seasons, right?
Yeah.
And they are you know what I always would say this about Christian Watson about the offense to you, and they play it when I come on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. They are a different offense when he is out there. They are a different defense when Devontae Wyatt is out there. It's just, you know, I mean, that was, for all the attention we paid to Tucker Kraft, rightfully so, and all the attention we paid to Micah Parsons, rightfully so, the two injuries that further killed him that we didn't talk about enough were Zach Tom and Devontae Wyatt.
Totally.
And then, obviously, Edgerrin Cooper in the playoff game. But, like, for guys that were lost for the rest of the season with a significant portion of the season left, losing Devontae Wyatt was underappreciated how problematic that was for them.
That's a great point.
If they had different options at defensive tackle, would they have given him the fifth-year option a couple of years ago? Mm. Or because there wasn't a lot of depth, they just decided, we kind of have to do this. Otherwise, we don't know what that position is going to look like.
I'm gonna take a page out of Goody's book. Goody told us that the fifth-year option is not based on what you have done; it's based on what we think you will do. That's why they gave it to Lucas Van Ness. So I assume they would have given it to Devontae Wyatt regardless. It was also less expensive than giving it to Quay Walker at a position where. And look, I am very curious. We'll get to linebackers coming up. I'm curious what Zaire Franklin ends up being. I think he will be great for me. I don't know what he'll be for their defense, but the guy came up and introduced himself to me during the minicamp.
Did he call you Mr. Wilde?
He did not. He just I told him my name's Jason. I don't like to get, you know, I love it when guys will tell you, oh, I'm so-and-so, and here's who I write for, and what, like, they don't care.
Right. Yeah.
They're not going to even remember your name, most likely. I still would tease Jaire Alexander about that, who I was his guy. Oh, you're my guy. What's my name? He never knew it.
Really?
So, yeah.
Didn't know that.
There are most guys
it's a great
do,
story.
But not everybody. So
his quote on T-shirts.
We did, yeah. And he was a big Ashwaubenon supporter, too. Got a great picture of me with him wearing his Ashwaubenon T-shirt that he got at the local St. Vincent de Paul. Anyway, my point is that where they have added veteran players, they did not obviously keep Quay Walker, but they were trying to. Let's not lose sight of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see what they decide to do with his other 2022 first-round pick and whether they try to keep him now because I don't think he's going to get a deal before we've played 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games.
What about Chris McClellan, the day two pick out of Missouri? It seems like he's probably the rookie that has the opportunity to contribute the most in his rookie season.
Other than Jagger?
I assumed he meant on defense. Oh, okay.
I meant overall because he's going to be in the rotation now. Jagger could Cracker, cracker. And that guy. And that guy.
That is the highlight of the day right
there. You got
there.
It. You got it. He figured it out. That guy. Oh. But I think McClellan, he's going to be in the rotation week one. Now, granted, I hope they don't do the right guard rotation thing.
Shanker could be in the rotation too, buddy.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. But I think McClellan
you
seems like he could make a day one impact.
Say that you
no, you don't need to bail
you.
Me out. That's truly my opinion, is I believe he will have the best opportunity to crack, you know, say, a starting lineup week one.
Okay, impact, though. You also said the word impact in there.
I did say impact, yes.
Look, I watched him practice. He got some reps with the ones. So did Brandon Cisse at corner. I don't know what Chris McClellan's going to give him, right? And neither do you. And neither does Jonathan Gannon at this point. Because right now, if they have the guys that they want, yes, he would maybe get, I don't know, 10, 12 snaps.
Well, do you think McClellan or like a Carl Brooks is more likely to get snaps?
When they start in a 3-4,
yeah.
it is Javon Hargrave.
Okay.
It will be Devontae Wyatt. I would think it would be Hargrave on the nose and Wyatt at one of the defensive ends. And the other guy's Carl Brooks.
Okay.
Carl Brooks is going to... If they are planning on Carl Brooks playing a hell of a lot of football for them.
Interesting.
And I would be curious to know if we polled people as they went by, how many of them would even know who Carl Brooks is. Like, is Carl Brooks a Brewers relief pitcher or a Packers defensive tackle or like an end-of-the-bench Bucks guy that they got in the trade from the Heat?
Or is he playing the American Family Insurance Amphitheater tonight as a bassist?
He's part of Post Malone.
right. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay, interior D-line, we feel okay about, it seems. It's just kind of a meh.
They can't be worse than the run defense that they trotted out against the
Baltimore
Ravens.
Yeah, tend to agree. But then again, we've said that before.
If it is, then it's going to be a long season.
We said that about Joe Barry's run defense when Jeff Hafley was hired, and Jeff Hafley's defense is who did that against Baltimore. So
that's true.
You never know.
Game. Yep.
Never know. All right, we'll pivot to edge rushers and the Micah Parsons conversation coming up next. This might be a long one. Buckle up. Will Micah Parsons play before the end of October? We'll find out together. State of the Packers.
Like his brother.
Yeah, right. Terrence will tell us. State of the Packers rolls on right after this. ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN Wisconsin app. All right, away we go. State of the Packers 2026 continues live from Summerfest. And we just had a fan who is here every year during State of the Packers. Every year he comes up to us. He's always very excited to see Jason Sheldon.
Unlike any other.
And right before we put our headsets back on, he said, what's the deal with Micah Parsons? And then he walked away. I don't know if that's telling.
Well, he's going to listen to the podcast later. He's got places to go. He's on the ground. He's a mover and shaker.
Mover and shaker indeed. Let's start with Micah Parsons. We'll talk about the edge rusher position as a whole. The outside linebackers they are now in this 3-4 base.
Except when they go to their sub-package, then they're defensive.
Then they're like defensive ends.
As I've been told.
Yes. Who told you about that?
Matt LaFleur.
Oh, yeah. That rings a bell.
Matt, you got two down linemen. Well, Jason, no, you know, when we go sub, no.
Is that the most demeaning explanation that ever happened to you?
It was, but again, what doesn't get told when we reference that is that after that he called me and apologized.
Oh, really? He was like, I didn't mean to talk to
you.
Yeah,
I'm like, he's like, you, and I said, you know, I know what that meant, but you were just evading the question because it was a bad alignment for the play,
yeah.
And it resulted in like an 11-yard run. Yeah, I know. Sorry I did that to you. All right, thanks for the call.
Fascinating. All right, Micah Parsons status. His brother's tweeting up a storm.
Indeed he is.
We know he's going to start on the PUP list, which puts him out at least the first 4 weeks. But it
first
seems
four
like,
games.
Yes, correct.
But it does not mean, and I think this is important, even though I don't think he's going to start practicing after two games.
Yeah, they changed that rule.
But Gabe Neitzel, there was a day where I was on Jen Game and Chewy where I basically didn't know anything.
Seems which, to be the case
which,
today.
Which is, no, he's just been great today. But like there were actually pieces of information I did not know. Which I pride myself on that not happening frequently, but it just seemed to happen like three instances, bang, 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 on that appearance.
Had a snowball effect.
It was not
just going
pretty.
Downhill.
And then I texted the wrong number for Chewy. But the fact that you can start practicing after the second game, that's not going to affect him. He has been very clear. They gave him a 9-month no football calendar, which means surgery was on December 29th, the first time he would do football work. Based on that would be September 30th, which would be after the third game.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not he actually does much and how soon he comes back, I have to defer to Terrence Parsons.
Well, they eased him in last year when he was dealing with the, I'm using air quotes here, the back injury. Well, obviously, it was a new system.
Yeah, I think they eased him in because he didn't go through any training camp. I think that was the reason why he got eased in. But, I mean,
but it's a good point.
Yeah, but they'll ease him
the same
in.
Approach.
They'll ease him in again. And while Terrence is out there on Twitter, the one point that he keeps making is Micah's not going to be back till he's 100%. Mm-hmm. And even though Terrence says, it could be week 7 or 8. Yeah, that could be it. Could be earlier than that, too. Nobody knows when Micah's going to be 100% until we get closer to that date of, as Jason mentioned, September 30th. Yeah, we don't know how he's going to feel when he first starts doing football things. And again, now when he starts doing football things, how does he feel? A lot of the recovery time, or a lot of the recovery process is now you do something, how do you feel? Not while you're doing it, not immediately after, how do you feel the next day?
Rashawn Gary's out. He goes to Dallas.
Even lower snap count guy in Green Bay now.
Yes, correct. So that means Lucas Van Ness is going to get a whole lot of opportunity, especially early on in the season, without Micah Parsons available to the Green Bay Packers defense.
How do we feel about the way Micah's talked about Lucas? Does that make us feel better about Lucas, or is Micah just being a good teammate?
I think everybody needs a friend like Micah Parsons. Now, the telling part is, I just referenced Rashawn Gary. We never heard him talk about Rashawn Gary like that.
No.
And I think there's a reason.
I agree. But I think he's done it several times now with Lucas Van Ness. Where, you know, he's got a great motor. He never gives up on plays, yada, yada, yada. All the things that Micah Parsons loves in a
sense. Seems opposite of somebody else.
Correct. So it's good, but I think it's probably more so the latter, just being a good teammate, than we should go, oh, my goodness, Lucas Van Ness for Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know how much stock we should put into it.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Big opportunity for him.
He went a bridge too far when he predicted that he and Lucas would be competing to be the best player on their defense with terms of their pass.
You think?
That's where I went from, Micah's give us an honest evaluation to, okay, Mike is just being a really good teammate right now.
Right. Talking up his guy, yeah. Whose job he took.
Correct. Well, sort of.
No, I mean, no, last year he took it.
Because Lucas was going to be the starter opposite of Rashawn Gary.
Yeah, fair enough. He moved him down the depth chart, nonetheless.
Definitely did
even,
that.
Yeah, anyway. So where are we at in terms of, like, LVN confidence? Are we buying the LVN stock? It seemed like he had a very good mini camp, mandatory mini camp OTAs. Jason, you were there for some of them. Seemed like he had some big plays.
I was there for all the ones that we were allowed to attend.
No shoulder pads and all. But
correct. Shorts, but T-shirts, and helmets.
Going back to the offensive line conversation, when I saw the tweets of, Lucas Van Ness is just recorded a sack. Was that a good play by Lucas? Is the offensive line just not good? I don't know what it means.
Against Jordan Morgan. Look, Lucas Van Ness is in no way to the point of Marshawn Lloyd, by any means.
Sure.
But we don't know how good he is, because he played 2 years ago with a broken thumb the entire season. And they had to line him up on one side all the time. He had Rashawn Gary on the opposite side, which, as we know, is a low snap count guy. And then last year, that foot injury, he missed 7 total games. Like, I don't know what can he do in a 17-game season. Like, he injured his foot sacking Joe Flacco the second time they faced him, when he was playing for the Bengals, not when he was playing for the Browns. But, again, there's moments where you think this guy could be good. If he was drafted in the 4th round instead of the 13th overall pick, I think we would view him differently. The expectation game matters. But now, like we talked about Jordan Love earlier in the show, like we're talking about Marshawn Lloyd, like we're going to talk about other people. Like, this is a really big year for Lucas Van Ness. And I enjoyed my interaction with him at minicamp. So I was like, I guess congratulations on getting the fifth-year option. It's like, yeah, we like you. We'd like to keep you around. But we don't like you enough to sign you to an extension instead. And he agreed. Like, it's a weird kind of limbo that he's in. But great opportunity.
Guaranteed's nice to have.
Yeah, it's almost what you get from the ESPN National. But what's good is that this is his big opportunity to prove, hey, I deserve big, big boy money. And then that fifth-year option is folded into a long-term extension. I don't know what he's going to do this year. And what I really don't know is, what is he going to do when he doesn't have Micah Parsons on the opposite side? Because the last time we saw a former first-round pick without Micah Parsons in Rashawn Gary, he didn't do anything.
No, he did not. Well, you say opposite side. Who's going to be opposite of LVN to start week one?
Brenton Cox.
Okay. We'll see some Baron Sorrell, I imagine.
Yep.
Really? So Cox ahead of Sorrell and...
Colin Oliver?
Colin Oliver didn't practice during any of the practices we saw.
Hey, and that happened all of last year,
last
right?
year, yeah. And then I think he played in the playoff game a little bit. But, like, again, there's a lot of people that are excited about Baron Sorrell. Not as excited as his dad, who always would parachute into our YouTube chat.
He hasn't done that in a while, though.
I know. Hey, I miss him.
Season.
I actually
it's the off-season.
I actually said that to Baron, too. I was like, tell your dad we need him. We need him to jazz up our YouTube comments. But, no, I think it's really four guys, right? And you wanted competition in camp.
Yep.
There's a spot there's competition.
That's true.
Right? So you're not saying a fifth guy? No DDS?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, opposite of
LVN.
Okay,
yeah.
So we were not including LVN.
The dentist denied Dennis Sutton their fourth-round pick.
My favorite thing about that is I told you on draft night that was his nickname. I may have just made that up.
I think you did, and then it turned out to be true.
Okay, great.
So I think you made it
I never
up,
verified that.
And it turned out there were people that had come up with it besides.
I've heard you say it so many times on Wildy and Tausch, and every time I haven't
no,
been able
to. No, he told us that was his nickname.
Okay, great. I'm in the clear.
So it's not your – it's one, you're in the clear that you didn't give him a nickname that didn't exist. On the flip side, you're not nearly as creative as you thought you were.
No, I didn't
because someone
think
else had
creative.
Come up with
well,
it.
Well, it's a pretty simple nickname. Yeah. I'd be surprised had he not heard it before.
I don't
before,
know. Tausch didn't but, get it at first.
Well –
Tausch had also never heard of the two-fisted slopper, so I don't know if we can really trust Tausch and his opinions right now, all right?
He's the best. Our show is so popular, it's all because of him.
So I guess, yeah, is that maybe where our eye should go in camp and the preseason?
Yes.
Of like,
so
obviously there's going to be snaps that need to be fulfilled.
Right, and if, let's say, and look, we kind of glossed over this, making jokes about Terrence Parsons on Twitter and whatever else, but Micah Parsons was very clear. Like, he said, look, I'm going to be back when I'm 100%. And when he was asked specifically about getting back for the first Bears game and the Cowboys game, he said, hey, we're going to play the Bears again, right? And, yeah, maybe we're not going to play the Cowboys again. But I don't – and then he went into this whole thing about not coming back too early. So I don't – for those that assumed that he was going to miss the first four games and be back for those two, including the schedule makers, I would say – that my hope, if I'm a Packers fan, is that he is there as a situational pass rusher for those two games, and then is playing his full complement after that. That would be a win, in my opinion.
And I am also of the belief that he should not come back until he's 100%. I'm okay with him not. When you're coming back from an injury like that, and it's a tough injury, we've seen it go the other way for guys like David Bakhtiari.
Right.
Having confidence in that knee is such an important part of coming back. And if he doesn't have confidence in it, he's not going to be the Micah Parsons that we want him to be. And for him to be 100%, I get it. I know everybody wishes he would do the Adrian Peterson thing and have this freaky recovery and come back and break the sack record the way that Adrian Peterson ran for 2,000 yards after he injured his knee and became an MVP the year after he injured his knee. But if the Packers want to go where they want to go, him starting out at 100% is going to be what's best for the team.
No, and no one will dispute that. But again, fan is short for fanatic.
Yes.
And I don't blame anyone for wanting a superstar player back immediately. I get it. But, and he made the point of saying there aren't any good outcomes for guys that come back prematurely. And it actually, if you go back and look at Adrian Peterson, that was great what he did that year, and
fell
then he had all
year.
Kinds of issues after that.
Because he came back too soon. And
right.
That's the prologue that just never gets mentioned. That part never gets mentioned with the Adrian Peterson
Or Robert Griffin, who they developed an entire advertising campaign around for, like, Adidas from coming back from his injury. And do you think that added any more pressure to him coming back prematurely?
Yeah, just a touch.
I mean, he's out of the league.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever they plan on doing for however long they have to do it, it's LVN and then may the best man win among Baron Sorrell, Brenton Cox, Colin Oliver, and Denai Dennis Sutton. And whoever that ends up being, those guys are all going to get some opportunities. And LVN's not going to play every snap either.
Right.
So, and it's really important that those guys, for however long Micah Parsons is gone, remember, they were preparing last season to not have Micah Parsons on their team. And all these guys other than Sutton were on the roster last year.
It's going to sound like I'm describing the Packers wide receiving core in 2024, but they've got a lot of bodies. Let's just hope one of them pops.
We don't have a number one pass rusher.
Yeah, right. Especially with Mike, without Micah Parsons. So we will see how that rolls. We will look at the linebackers coming up next. The Packers leading tackler from 2025 is now a Las Vegas Raider. We take a look at the Green Bay Packers linebackers coming up next. It's State of the Packers on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. State of the Packers 2026 continues live from the Gruber Law Offices Sports Zone at Summerfest. He is a three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. And I got to say, he's Mr. Popular in this city, man. Jason Wilde's here. You only make a few trips down here a year.
So Todd Blasey is one of my oldest friends. His younger brother was my college roommate. We were in the same class at Martin Luther. So he's the guy.
Is he in the Martin Luther Hall of Fame?
He is. I believe so.
You both are.
He definitely deserves it. I don't know if I did. But nevertheless, he's kind of what – I don't have an older brother. He's kind of the older brother I never had. So it was fun to have somebody stop by and remind me of how lucky I am.
That was way more sentimental than I was intending it to be.
So I am.
Yeah, that's you.
And by the way, speaking of how lucky I am.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know how many years this has been, and we will get into – the linebackers here, you can maybe push them into the 2 o'clock.
Probably,
hour.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I'm just so thrilled. And I was putting together my little video thing on the drive down, Paul. I wasn't driving as I did it. But a look back. This is a really special show to me because this is what started it all for me. Like, I was on Homer every night and I was on the D list, but I didn't do any shows. And they, you know, I ended up being hired by Good Karma full time to be a radio host and a writer when we launched the website. But, like, we didn't have Green and Gold Today. This was the precursor to Green and Gold Today. And Bill Johnson and I, who ended up obviously together on that
show.
Not
even using its original name.
Right. Lambeau Live for about an hour and a half until the cease and desist letter.
I was going to say, letter in the mail.
Came pretty quick.
But this really was, like, this is, and so then we went for years without having it. And you two bringing it back. I think the first year you guys were going to do it without me, which you're.
I think we did do it without you.
Yeah, I don't think I was pleased.
No, you were not.
It's great.
Talk about a letter in the mail.
But what's great about that is Jason let us know he was not pleased.
Well, I was very clear about that. I believe that. Okay.
I believe
Jason's not back pleased, to your regular program.
If Jason's not pleased about something, he'll let you know.
I believe this is
which is not very often.
No,
to be fair.
No.
I'm displeased with a lot, but that doesn't count.
That's something completely different.
I think there's a lot of people that feel that way.
I think Gabe's only yelled at me one time ever. It's when I interrupted him to read a sign at Green Bay Game Day. There was a sign out in the parking lot that I found rather amusing, and I interrupted
just just the dog from Up. Squirrel.
I have one of those. His name is Mark Tauscher.
Got another one right here, buddy. But I believe this is year five. It's back. Year four, the three of us. And it is something I look forward to every year.
Now I'm irritated again.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back,
we
will talk Zaire Franklin, Edrin Cooper, and the state of the linebackers. That is next. It's State of the Packers 2026. 1 hour to go live from Summerfest on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.